is TUC at tucradio.org. My name is Moradin. Thank you for listening.
And you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. And you're in the middle of the WEFT Courier. Disability Beat is coming up next. But first, here's the lineup for the Art Theater this week. And after five-year-old Jack and his mother escape from being trapped and held hostage for years, her son makes a thrilling discovery in the movie Room, which opens Wednesday, November 25th. And in its third week, you still have a chance to catch the popular historical drama Suffragette. All dates and times are available at www.arttheater.coop/full-schedule. So check that out. This hour of Disability Beat is sponsored by our community partner, Jet's Pizza. Jet's uses only premium ingredients, including dough made fresh daily. Jet's Pizza stores are located at 512 South Neal Street in Champaign. Their number 217-352-3333 and 1907 West Springfield Avenue. Their number is 217-352-9992. You can order online at jetspizza.com. Disability Beat is also sponsored in part by attorney Baku Patel of Patel Law, who practices Social Security disability law and represents those who have been denied benefits. There are no fees unless Patel Law wins your case. You can contact Patel Law at 217-384-1111 for a free consultation to discuss your Social Security disability case. Patel Law is located at 108 West University Avenue in Urbana with offices in Danville and Decatur. For more information, visit patellawteam.com or call 217-384-1111. And now stay tuned for Disability Beat.
You are listening to Disability Beat on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, community radio for East Central Illinois.
This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
It was a stupid idea.
Stay tuned for an interview with Bill Bogdan. He is a sled hockey player for the Rehab Institute Chicago Blackhawks, and he will be talking about an upcoming sled hockey event in Champaign-Urbana. But first, here is the news for the week of November 23rd, 2015. Rachel Larson, age 21, and her boyfriend, Nicholas Hamilton, age 24, hide under bridges and behind abandoned buildings so they can have a romantic relationship. Rachel and Nicholas wouldn't have to hide, except for the fact that they are both adults with developmental disabilities. For people like Rachel and Nicholas, such freedom to be intimate is rare. Adults with disabilities complain of having to overcome constant hurdles to engage in romantic activity and sustain loving relationships. The obstacles include arbitrary curfews, lack of transportation, and segregated housing that cuts them off from mainstream social life and opportunities to date. Often the barriers are imposed by group home operators that place safety above intimacy. In the isolating confines of group homes, true intimacy can be impossible. To go on a date, adult residents generally have to obtain permission in advance, then go out under the watchful eyes of paid staff. More ambitious requests, such as spending the night in bed with a partner, can trigger a long sequence of meetings and consultations. The physical and legal barriers are sometimes reinforced by the widely held perception that people with disabilities are asexual or are too helpless to consent to intimacy, advocates say. Said Nancy Fitzsimmons, a professor of social work at Minnesota Minnesota State University, quote, "We are denying people with disabilities a fundamental part of being human, the right to have intimacy and connectedness. We do this because it makes us uncomfortable without ever asking what's right for them. How do you go to a committee of people and say, I want some alone time with my significant other, or I want to have sex," end quote. 90 minutes is all Bradley Duncan is permitted for alone time with the woman he fell in love with nearly a year ago. The clock starts to tick the moment Duncan shuts the bedroom door of his room at a group home. Said Duncan, who is 46 and has a cognitive disability, they set their watches and say, "Your time starts now." Now, if it's 11:30 a.m., that means I've got until 5 minutes to one before they start knocking on the door saying my time is up. It's not much time, end quote. Asked why a night alone with his friend is so important, Duncan shot back, quote, "You have some, right? Right? Well, I want that. I want to wake up in the morning, have someone there by my side, and feel happy, just like everyone else," end quote. Paris Gatlin, an advocate with a disability rights organization, said the barriers can be so great that people with disabilities sometimes give up on pursuing relationships. Recently, Gatlin said she represented a woman who wanted help requesting a night with her boyfriend who lived in a group home. The request was initially turned down, prompting the woman to demand a meeting with the group home staff. Though visibly nervous at the meeting, the woman prevailed, Gatlin said. She said Gatlin, who leads community forums on healthy relationships among people with disabilities, quote, "How do you go to a committee of people and say, I want some alone time with my significant other, or I want to have sex? It saddens my heart that so many people have to fight for what most of us take for granted," end quote. The production company behind Keeping Up with the Kardashians and other reality television programs will debut a new documentary series following young adults with Down syndrome. The 6-episode series called Born This Way will air on A&E Network starting December 8th at 9 p.m. Central Time. For the show, cameras followed 7 Southern California young adults with Down syndrome and their families as they navigate jobs and relationships and look to gain greater independence. Among those featured is Stephen, who works 2 jobs and knows the title and year of every Oscar-winning film, John, who is pursuing a career in rap music, and Christina, who works at a middle school and has a boyfriend 4 years who she plans to meet. Said Elaine Fontaine Bryant, head of programming for A&E Network, quote, "We are proud to be airing this important and extraordinary series and hope it will inspire meaningful conversations about people with indifferences. Born This Way is a show with honesty, humor, and heart that celebrates and embraces diversity," end quote. Amid concerns from advocates, a U.S. senator is calling on federal education officials to make information about disability services at the nation's colleges more readily available. In a letter last week, U.S. Senator Bob Casey of Pennsylvania asked the U.S. Department of Education to offer better guidance for those with disabilities and their families as they investigate post-secondary education options. Casey wrote in the letter addressed to Secretary of Education Arne Duncan and John King, who is slated to take over Duncan's job later this year. 60% of students with disabilities pursue post-secondary education within 8 years of high school, according to a 2011 federal report. But just 40% of these students complete college programs compared to 52% of students without disabilities. Said Casey, quote, "The reality is that it's uncharted territory because most people at colleges and universities are unprepared for people with disabilities to attend," end quote. Advocates say that a lack of information is partly to blame. While all schools are obligated to provide a minimum level of assistance to students with disabilities, some colleges and universities do more than others to highlight their offerings, according to Lindsay Jones, Vice President of Policy and Advocacy at the National Center for Learning Disabilities. Jones said, quote, "We've received increasing parent concerns about the transition to college." She added that families are struggling to find answers to basic questions like what services are available and what type of documentation they will need in order to support and request assistance. She said, quote, "The reality is that it's uncharted territory because most people at colleges and universities are unprepared." recently announced plans to create a National Center for Information and Technical Support for post-secondary students with disabilities are a step in the right direction, Casey said. And finally, a commentary on the dumbest idea of the year. Lifetown in Columbus, Ohio is located in a Jewish community center and is a simulated streetscape designed as a training site for use by young people with disabilities. According to Rabbi Arya Kaltman, quote, every single venue is literally another life skill being learned. Kids learn time management at the movie theater, dining etiquette at the deli, proper grooming in the salon, prevent health care in the doctor's office, and budgeting and saving at the bank, end quote. This pretend town is just another creation for people with intellectual disabilities simulating real life to keep them separate from society in the name of safety. You may know or hear about special ranches, farms, camps, dances, and/or sports. They are most often run by large fundraising organizations committed to the idea that people with disabilities are better off separated from the rest of us, with the unspoken idea that their home communities are better off as well. When you get asked to contribute to these organizations during this holiday season, please don't be fooled into thinking you are contributing to what is best for people with disabilities. Give your money instead to an organization that supports real community inclusion and people being able to live real lives just like you and me. If you want suggestions on who to donate to, email me at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. I'm happy to help. And that's the news for this week.
Was a stupid idea.
And you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I am joined today by my good friend Bill Bogdan, who we had a discussion with Bill just before the show, trying to figure out a way to introduce him. So I will just welcome Bill, and we'll talk a little bit about who he is and all the stuff that he does. So welcome to the show, Bill.
Oh, thanks for having me, Vicki. It's a pleasure to be here.
So the original reason we talked about you being on my show is back in October when you were here in Champaign at the Disability Resource Expo. You did a demonstration on sled hockey, but there's so much more to who you are than that. But I want to start with the sled hockey because that's a really interesting event that's coming up here in Champaign next month, correct?
That's correct. One thing that I've always said, even when I was out down in Champaign there at the Disability Expo, that even though we people with disabilities live active lives, it's always important to do things you enjoy and participate in sports and or other recreational activities. And my favorite sport happens to be sled hockey. And it was a pleasure to be down in Champaign to help talk about sled hockey and explain how the sport is actually played and so forth, and then to also talk about an upcoming free event for anyone to attend to get a first-hand look at sled hockey. It'll be taking place on December 5th, which is on a Saturday, December 5th, at the University of Illinois Ice Arena. And it's going to be the RIC, the Rehab Institute of Chicago, the Chicago Blackhawks RIC sled hockey team, taking on our nemesis, the St. Louis Blues sled hockey team. It'll be a fun exhibition game for anyone to come out and see. It's, like I mentioned, it's free of charge, so you can bring your family, bring your friends. And then also after the exhibition game, people in the audience will get a first-hand, be able to come out onto the ice and try sled hockey for themselves and see how they do with it.
So for those people, myself included, who has never been to a sled hockey game, how does it work exactly?
Well, basically, sled hockey is, in my opinion, it's one of the fastest growing disability sports that's out there. We are very fortunate here in the United States. Our Paralympic sled hockey team actually has two consecutive gold medals, and they just won the gold medal recently in Sochi, Russia.
Wow.
Back in 2014, they captured the gold medal. So that's back-to-back gold medals for the U.S. sled hockey team. Now, I'll honestly say I am nowhere near at the level of a Paralympian, but that's one thing that's great about sled hockey. It's available for basically all ages and all abilities to go out and try. And it's played generally the same way as regular hockey is played, except we use an adaptive sled that we actually sit in and propel the sled across the ice with hockey sticks that actually have metal picks on the end of them to help dig into the ice. So you almost use like a skiing motion with those sticks. And it helps you to propel the sled. And then you can maneuver the sled by basically leaning to, if you want to steer the sled per se, lean to the left, lean to the right, or maneuver the sled, you know, the way that you want it to go. And then in addition, as you're propelling those hockey sticks, you have to maneuver a puck along with you. But it's in our league, this is my 12th year actually playing sled hockey for the RIC Chicago Blackhawks. And once I tried it 12 years ago, I've been hooked, and I've been playing, you know, religiously ever since with the RIC Blackhawks. And basically, you know, it's just really just a fantastic sport. And I encourage anybody that would be interested to come out on December 5th and give it a look.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a lot of fun, actually, but it sounds kind of dangerous, actually. I mean, regular hockey players who don't use sleds are, you know, constantly getting in, you know, collisions with other people. Does that happen in sled hockey, too?
It can. I mean, you know, in general, we try to, obviously, we all wear protective gear. I brought out my gear at the Disability Expo, but you wear a full protected helmet with a metal caged face mask to help prevent the puck from, you know, damaging your face. So you won't get any teeth knocked out in sled hockey by getting hit in the face with a puck. But you do wear a lot of protective gear. Elbow pads is probably one of the most important protective piece of equipment that we end up wearing because of the fact your elbows, you know, have a tendency to hit that ice pretty hard sometimes. In addition, we'll also wear general hockey skates. I wear an actual hockey boot, and all that I did on the boot was actually cut the skate right off of it to kind of protect my feet. And I also wear my shoulder pads and my leg pads to basically protect myself. But at hockey league, it's a full checking league, so it is a full contact sport. And it's one thing I can say, you know, all kidding aside, it does have you awaited some of your aggressions out a little bit here and there.
Do you play year-round?
Basically, our season basically runs from September, where we start off in September, and we run all the way through April. And we usually end in April at the USA Disabled Hockey Festival.
Mm.
And that festival will be taking place in Detroit in April of next year. And in fact, yesterday I actually just got back from Florida, where our sled hockey team actually participated in the 6th annual NHL Sled Hockey Classic. And this is really a great opportunity for those that love sled hockey. To all the teams that have some type of sponsorship from an NHL team, for the last 6 years now, we get together in a particular city. This year, it was actually sponsored by the Florida Panthers, sponsored the sled hockey tournament. So we had about 18 teams that came down to, actually, we were in Coral Springs, Florida for our tournament. Our RIC Blackhawks actually won the tournament last year. We finished first last year, and the tournament was held in Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, this year we fell a little short and ended up in fourth. But it was really a great opportunity. And one thing that was great about being there is I missed all the snow in Chicago and Champaign that hit because I was just up in Florida.
Nice.
But our league is a traveling league, so we actually participate in the Midwest Sled Hockey League. And the teams that make up our league is Chicago, Blackhawks. It's also the Colorado Avalanche, the San Antonio Rampage, and then your St. Louis Blues has a team, and that actually makes up our division. And primarily we get together about five times a year with different tournaments that we participate in. And it's really a lot of fun and camaraderie that goes along with it. In fact, this event that's coming up in December, just next week or so, we actually got a sled hockey player from the Champaign area. And his name is Travis Dodson. And he actually came out last year when we did our actual exhibition game and got to try sled hockey out and was completely hooked on it. Mm. And he actually made our travel team. And this year, he actually made the U.S. Paralympic development team. So it's really exciting that you even got a person down in Champaign, Champaign's own, that has made the U.S. Paralympic development team as a sled hockey player.
That's very exciting. So, you know, that was kind of my next question is, if there are folks listening to this interview who might be interested in learning more about sled hockey, who would they contact? Where would they go other than attending your event on December 5th, which would be a great start?
Well, I recommend that if you are interested in sled hockey, you can always to find more information on it. You can just Google sled hockey, but sled hockey, and a lot of information will come up. But in particular, we're, as I mentioned, sponsored by the Rehab Institute of Chicago, the RIC Chicago Blackhawks. And for more information about sled hockey, your listeners can call 312-238-5008. And the person that helps coordinate our sled hockey program is Derek Daniels. So you would want to probably reach out to Derek Daniels at, as I mentioned, 312 area code 238-5008. And he will be able to provide you more information about sled hockey. We actually practice, and our practices are open to anybody that wants to come out and try sled hockey. They're open out to anybody. But we actually practice every Wednesday and Sunday in the Chicago area. And actually, Travis Dodson, he makes the trip twice a week to come up and practice with the RIC Blackhawks from Champaign.
Wow, he is dedicated. Well, I do want to save a little time, Bill, because you do have a couple of other roles that I think are really important. And so you are the chair of the Illinois Council on Developmental Disabilities. You want to take just a couple of minutes and talk about what's important with that particular position these days?
Oh, yes. That's one of the things that really that I do in my professional time and also my volunteer time is I chair the Illinois Council on Developmental Disabilities. For those of you, we just finished a fantastic Speak Up and Speak Out Summit that was just held just a couple of weeks ago mm-hmm. here in Springfield, Illinois, and we had over 525 people all around the state of Illinois that came down to the Capitol to help, join in and participate in the Speak Up and Speak Out Summit. And our overall goal is to improve the quality of lives of people with developmental disability and to work at helping propel the system in Illinois forward to make the necessary changes to obviously have people with developmental disabilities lead the life that they want to lead.
It was a great event. In fact, I tell people it's the best event you can go to in Illinois related to disability anything. So thank you for all your work on that.
And I will say, as the summit, it's been fantastic as the chair. And even before I was chair, to see Lester Pritchett, who actually came up with the idea of the Speak Up and Speak Out Summit, to see that thing, the Speak Up and Speak Out Summit continue to grow every year and getting larger and larger and larger. And I remember way back when, as you could remember, when this idea first was approached, we were like, are we really going to get people to come? And now here we are setting records year after year, 525 people with developmental disabilities now attending the Speak Up and Speak Out Summit. And it's really great to see a lot of people with developmental disabilities becoming the self-advocates that they are.
And I know we just have a few minutes left, but I also want you to talk a little bit about something that's very dear to your heart. Professionally, you work for the Secretary of State's office, and as we're approaching the holidays, I think you have a message for people out there who are traveling, yes?
Oh, that's true. I serve as Illinois Secretary of State Jesse White's disability liaison in my full-time job, and one of our passions is obviously to promote the proper usage of accessible parking spaces and the use of parking placards and disability license plates. And the month of November is actually Accessible Parking Awareness Month. And as November just kicked off, we make November or mark November as Accessible Parking Awareness Month to ensure that people take the extra time and not abuse the accessible parking spaces and not use those parking placards if the disabled or the authorized holder is not present. So it's very imperative that if you don't belong here, please don't park here, and keep those spaces open for those that truly need them.
I actually was during this last big snow, which was not so much so big here, but was up in Chicago. I went to a business parking lot, and the plows had pushed all of the snow into the accessible parking spaces. Do you see?
That's a big no-no. We have Illinois state law that basically requires business owners or business, you know, the owners of a business to remove all the snow from the accessible parking spaces and the access aisles after they have basically 24 hours after a major snow event to remove that snow. But unfortunately, we see that a lot of times where the snow plows will just pile up that snow in the access aisle and make it that much more difficult for people with disabilities to safely get in and get out of their vehicle or get into the store. Or what they may have a tendency to do is they will push the snow away, but then they may block the access aisle or block the access to the business or the curb cut, which makes it very difficult for people with disabilities to safely get in and get out of the store. And that's the big reason why we promote the month of November as Accessible Parking Awareness Month. And we encourage law enforcement agencies throughout the state of Illinois to step up their enforcement if they can, and ticket people who violate this vital program for people with disabilities.
And just a reminder, what does it cost somebody who parks in an accessible space without being being officially allowed to do that?
Well, vehicles that park in an accessible spot without a plate or parking placard, they are subject to a minimum statewide of a $250 fine, and local municipalities, through the adoption of a local ordinance, can increase that fine up to $350. In addition, for anyone that is ticketed for using a parking placard or a disability license plate without the authorized holder present, they are subject up to a $600 fine and a six-month driver's license suspension for the first offense.
You know, I can't tell you how many people I know personally who have done that and continue to do that. So I hope that message resonates with listeners out there who maybe have adult children or younger children with disabilities who have those placards and use them when their kids aren't there.
I can also tell your listeners and tell people that, you know, police have clear authority to confiscate the parking placards if they see them being used illegally. So any police officer, obviously can't confiscate that placard, if they see it being used illegally. So it's imperative as a person with a disability, you do not allow your friends or family members to use your plates or placards if you're not in the vehicle. And if they do, you have the potential of actually having that placard be confiscated, and you will lose it, unfortunately, for a short period of time.
Okay, well, we are out of town. Thanks for joining me today, Bill Bogdan of the sled hockey team, the Chicago Blackhawks, the chair of the Council for Developmental Disabilities, and you work for the Secretary of State's office. So busy, busy man. Thanks for joining us today, Bill.
Thank you very much.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are podcast on our website at www.disabilitybeat.com, or go to Facebook and look for Disability Beat Radio. Please send your comments and show ideas for guests or topics to disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Hope you have a great week.